Sorry. Now we have Bobby out here. We have a mic on. Calling this meeting to order, February 11th, 2016, 7 p.m. I'd like to acknowledge our special guest tonight. We have Mayor Andrews in our presence. And I would like at this point to have a roll call.
Alan Edwards.
Here.
Jason Dale. Kathy Sturr.
Here.
Matthew Fortner.
Here.
Philip Smith.
Here.
Gary Bliss.
Here.
Luis Savarda.
Here.
Saavedra. And Patrick Johnson. Here.
And actually, I am a member of the committee.
As is the tradition of our commission, we like to open up each meeting with a quote.
I have you on here.
Tonight, I'm reading a quote from the great Will Rogers. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. And so often as it is in these meetings, we're left to question, what in the world are we doing here? And yet we are compelled to make decisions based off the evidences that are presented us and the facts. So I thought it was appropriate. At this time, would like to open up the floor for any public comments. Anybody in the audience like to speak at this time? Seeing none?
Wake up.
Seeing none, we'll go to our consent calendar. We'll take a review of the minutes. Any comments on the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I'll move that we approve the January 14, 2016 Planning Commission meeting minutes as written.
I have one.
Second.
I have one comment. We need to change Planning Commission Chair from Gary Bliss to Alan Edwards. That is on page 7 of 7.
Defrocked.
Mr. Director, do we have to have a new motion to accept the minutes as amended?
I would suggest that you recognize the party who made the motion to recognize the amendment on the signature block for the minutes and get the concurrence of the second, and then we'll be okay.
Very good. They spoke so fast I didn't get a chance to get my comment in there.
That's right, Mr. Chair. I would take it as a friendly amendment to change Gary Bliss under the signature to Alan Edwards. Mr. Bliss would do the same.
I'm considering it.
You're considering.
So done. I agree.
All righty. So all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay? So be it. The motion passes. On to new business. We turn this at this point over to our staff to discuss and initiate the development code amendments, which is intended to improve the organization, clarity, and function of the land development standards in the Newburgh Development Code.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jessica Pels, Planning. This is just a request for Planning Commission to initiate development code amendments. So we don't have any draft amendments before you. We're just saying that we think it needs to be done. And this would be giving us the direction to go forth and do that. This is a section that we've talked about amending for a very long time. It is outdated. And just in general, some of the development code organization is just kind of old and not great. And so we'd like to modernize it and just take out the outdated functions and some of the standards that we don't need anymore. So this would be a good project for us to work on as we have time over the next year or so, or less, hopefully. So staff recommendation is that Planning Commission adopt resolution number 2016-315 to initiate development code amendments to improve the organization, clarity, and function of the land development standards and direct staff to begin work on the project.
Can I read?
Do we have any questions from the chairman or from the commissioners at this point?
Yeah, Jessica, can you give some examples of the kinds of things that you think need to be changed? Here it is. Yeah, for example. Okay, mm-hmm. There it is. Okay.
Yeah, and that is an old, I think it's a pretty archaic, actually, requirement that used to be, I think because of fire reasons, that there were plats, the actual Mylar plats held in different areas of the county in case there was a fire and they got destroyed, we would still have them. But now the county surveyor's office scans all plats, and so they're all electronic copies. We just get them that way. So it's, and when Dan Linscheid was still the county surveyor, even several years ago, he said, we're not going to record a third copy for you anymore. But it's still in our code, so we still require it. And so we make surveyors print it off from the county surveyor's website, and so it's not to scale, and it's just kind of out. I mean, it's just onerous and expensive and outdated.
But the point is, that's an example, and there are
right.
several of these kinds of things.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt resolution 2016-315 to initiate development code amendments to improve the organization, clarity, and function of the land development standards and direct staff to do the work. I like that last part.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a second. Can we have a roll vote?
Alan Edwards?
Yes.
Kathy Sturr?
Yes.
Matthew Fortner?
Yes.
Patrick Johnson?
Yes.
Philip Smith?
Yes.
Gary Bliss?
Yes.
The motion passes. And thank you, staff. At this point, would like to ask if there are any other items from staff to be addressed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug Rux, Community Development Director. The chair and I had a conversation about what might be coming before the Planning Commission over the course of the next calendar year, so you have some idea of what your workload may be. So staff sat down, we looked at applications that we have coming in, so there's a memo in your packet on page 11 of 12. And so the first of those was to initiate the development code land division requirements, which you just passed that resolution. So now you set Jessica off on a task of work. In February, later this month, on the 25th, your second meeting of the month, we will be bringing forward to you the Development Code Amendment on Recreational Marijuana Producers and Processors. In March, we'll be bringing forward an annexation. It's called the Rourke Annexation. It's up off of College Street, adjacent to North Valley Friends Church, about a 2-acre parcel there. An application has been submitted. We were thinking we might possibly have the transportation system plan, but I'll get into that. That might get moved back into May. Kind of time frame. Then back in April, we're going to be back in front of you again with some recreational marijuana proposed code amendments, and this is for wholesalers, laboratories, research certificates, and retail operations. We've received an application from Shehalem Park and Recreation District for the new pool. That will be coming forward to you, so that's both a conditional use permit and a design review. In May, we're anticipating another annexation application. This is from Del Boca Vista for some property between Columbia and Lynn So this would be to the west of Maine, between Maine and Chehalem, north of Columbia and south of Lynn, for a residential subdivision they would like to put in there. They're trying to meet the deadlines to get onto the November ballot if it goes through the Planning Commission and City Council. We also have been talking with our Public Works Department, and with the acquisition of the old Cal Portland site, a portion of that property is in Yamhill County and outside the city limits. So they're working on an application packet to bring forward. Late this afternoon, we heard that there may be another annexation proposal that may be coming in, also trying to get onto the November 8th ballot for consideration, so we'll wait on that one. Beyond that, then it becomes a little bit more unknown, things that may be coming in. So we kind of just pulled this out through May, and the intent is every month we'll try to give you an update, kind of where we're at, so you've got something to look forward 2, 3, or 4 months into the future. The other part that we've been doing is having conversations internally about just elements in the development code, like the land division portion, that are old, outdated, they're convoluted, the language may not always be necessarily clear, the structure is hard to read and follow. If it's challenging sometimes for staff, you can imagine what it might be like for those who are trying to use it, for architects, developers, engineers, and so forth. So with that kind of context, I kind of listed out potentially, 19 different things that could be looked at in the development code. And so one of the first is coming up is that the council asked staff to come forward, and we'll be doing this on March 7th, with information about an urban forestry program. At this point, I don't know where that will go, but we'll give a presentation to the council and get some direction. Steve Olson and I have talked about fencing requirements and standards for industrial, so like screening outdoor storage areas and so forth. And our code is a little bit lacking on that, so I said, well, that's something we probably need to fix. The issue about parking in subdivisions and partitions, and some of this gets to the on-street parking issues, not necessarily the off-street parking. And also for design review, and so the code could use some cleanup there. In our C3 zone, which is in the downtown area, so as an example, we went through and paved the lot on 2nd Street, and it was a maintenance project. But if you were to build a new parking lot downtown, we got this requirement for a 10-foot setback from the right-of-way line, and we talked about, well, you can make it work with 5 feet, and so if you have the right landscaping and some fencing, you can make it so you're more efficiently using the land instead of using it for landscaping. So that's something else we've looked at. We've talked about the accessory dwelling units in our R2 and R3, and that language could use some cleanup and fixing. The sign program in the downtown area, it's based on a point system, and there's a lot of subjectivity to it. You have to get to 10 points. We spend a lot of time going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with businesses who are trying to develop a sign package that will actually meet those standards. So I know there's been a lot of discussions about signs in the past, so we had to have something about signs on the current list. Jessica's talked to me about the vacation home rental provisions in the code, and those again are kind of outdated. We were looking through on some design review standards, and actually we don't have any standards that require you to screen your rooftop mechanical equipment on a building. It's pretty typical in today's world is that you've got some kind of screening either attached to the unit, attached to the roof. And there are lots of different ways to screen, and we got this very subjective compatibility standard that's in place. And so you might have one building on one side that doesn't have any screening and a building on the other side that does. And so which one do you do? Do you say, do you have to screen it or do you not have to screen it?
Question, were you going to include like solar panels as a mechanical type of thing?
No, we had not talked about solar panels at this point. We were just looking at the HVAC units that go up on the roof. Some of them are very large. Some of them are small. The low-cost way to deal with it is you paint them, but then the paint peels off. because they've already got a special paint on them when they come out from the manufacturer. So how can you screen these units, at least from the public view, from the public right-of-way? And more so if you've got that kind of hard line between commercial and residential land, and if you've got residential land that's multifamily and you can go a couple floors, they're looking down on this mechanical equipment. So how can you help kind of mitigate that visual clutter? We found in the historic process, when the historic commission was created, the responsibilities of the historic reviews moved from the planning commission to the historic commission. But then there was a piece that was not cleaned up, and that was if you went through a type one historic review, which is a director's decision, that says it gets appealed to the planning commission, and then the planning commission's decision can be appealed to the city council, so it completely bypasses the historic commission. So that's another piece that we thought probably want to get cleaned up. The zoning use table that was created several years ago, as I was working on the marijuana regulations and going through three different sections of the code, found that there was some planning districts that were listed in a list, but then there was no narrative about those in the next section. And then in the table, not all of them were included. The primary ones were, but the sub-districts were not. And then there was an issue with the planning district, well, the zoning map, and the labeling on the zoning map didn't match what was in the code, and the code drives all of this. So we need to go through and clean all of that up as well. We've had a lot of questions probably in the last 4 months or so about driveway widths and what's the standards for driveway widths. Many codes have that if you're in a residential, you know, you have 20 or 24 foot wide driveway. If you're in a commercial, you've got a 32, you can go no larger than 40. If you're industrial, you usually have 40, you can no go longer, no wider than 50. And that's, but in our code, we don't have that. And so we get these questions about, well, I like to do, you know, a 55 foot wide driveway. Well, we don't have anything in the development code, but we have something in our public works and our design and construction standards. So it's something they're not aware of, so it's a completely separate document. So really need to be consistent between the two of those, make that much more efficient for staff as well as those who are using the documents.
Driveways excite me, so not. In a previous life, I was involved with an access management plan along Highway 99E through Canby. A driveway width, would that include along 99E, and would that trigger an access management plan? Or I'm just curious because I'm having a flashback right now. So,
No, we were not going that far.
Okay,
we,
good. Thank you. That's all.
That is a much bigger task, which would take coordination with the Oregon Department of Transportation, and we'd have to actually put together an access management plan. But then, you have a lot of conversations with property owners. Because typically in access management programs, you have roadway spacings and driveway spacings on a street. If you've had historic development and didn't have those standards, everybody's got their own driveway. And if somebody gets their driveway or proposed to get their driveway closed off and you have to share it with somebody else, and then you got the east, that creates a lot of discussion. I have worked with access management programs where it was early and there wasn't development yet, and so you were in front of it, and it worked very well. We've looked at some of the home occupations, and actually the way the code reads is that home occupations require a type one review, which means we're supposed to be actually writing up a one-page decision that you send out that says you're going to meet what's in the code. It doesn't really put any conditions on it. If you have a home occupation and you're only one, you got to do this. If you got more than one, you got to do this. So that was another piece we looked at and said, well, that needs to be cleaned up. The one that's on 15 was talking about creation of lots under 15,000. Well, the word said development of a lot. Well, it's actually creating the lot through a land division. So that piece might get picked up in the work that Jessica's going to be working on. I mentioned, you know, a section where there's a list of zones called districts in Newburgh, but they're not consistent from one section to the next, and so the R4 was one of those pieces. We have a diagram for parking in the code, and you can't read it. And people have commented, we can't read this. And so we actually need to update that. Our airport overlay diagrams in the code are, again, the document that's not readable and needs to be updated. And then we talked about looking at our temporary merchant standards. There are probably many more, but these are the ones that we've kind of recently identified. I should also note that Robert Suppy sent me an email the other day raising an issue about the signs and the portable signs that we recently dealt with, and some lack, what he believes, some clarity on if you're having a festival event and when you can have the banners or the feather flags that are out, and raising some concerns about with festivals coming up. So with First Friday, Tunes on Tuesday, the Old Fashioned Festival and so forth, do we need to go back and revisit what the Planning Commission and the Council just revisited a couple of months ago? So those are some of the ideas. We haven't prioritized any of this at this time, and there's nothing that you have to make a decision. We're not asking you to make a decision on. And we also have staffing resources that we have to deal with, because we are continuing to try to finish up with the transportation system plan. We're working on the downtown improvement plan at this time. We continue to have applications coming in. We were notified by ODOT that the next round of transportation growth management applications, preliminary applications, are due next month. And we're kind of kicking the tires if there's something we might want to apply for or not. And one of the things kind of floats to the top is, what about the riverfront master plan now that the bypass is in place, and should that be revisited or not?
UGB pre-work grant.
The UGB pre-work grant that Jessica's just getting kicked off now. So that'll be going on between now and the end of May of 2017. So we're trying to look at, you know, what we can do. So as Jessica said in her presentation, is trying to look at, when we have time, what things we might go through. And part of it then is, what things do we hear the most from people who are coming trying to get services that they're having struggles with in the particular code? So I think maybe what we'll do, what I would suggest, is next month we can bring you back something and say, well, maybe if we were given time and capacity and resources, this might be a priority of activities we want to look at. We're not going to get it all done in a year unless there was some technical assistance money where we could go back through and do a complete rewrite of the code. But right now I don't see that that's quite on the horizon given all the other things that we have going on. So that was the piece in regards to kind of the work plan. Any other questions?
Yeah. On number two, I think I heard you say fences in industrial zones, not institutional zones.
Yeah, okay, probably.
Thank you.
Industrial, that's the one we're having the issues with. Okay. No other questions on that. So
I do have a question, Doug.
Mr.
Now,
Chair.
I understand we're talking about code, but several months ago, while Jackie was city manager, we had talked about streamlining the process as far as obtaining building permits. In the process of rewriting the code, will that in any way, shape, or form make this process in which builders, etc., have to go through to obtain building permits, will that be considered?
I think doing some of these updates will make it easier. So things that we have done over the course of the last 10 months or so, staff between community development and engineering, we've had a series of discussions. So starting with, when somebody calls us and wants to has an idea about a meeting, I typically call them kind of scoping meetings and come in and sit down and share with us what your ideas are. We can help you. These are the steps and the processes that you would have to go through. We've also had discussions about the pre-application process and ensuring that we get them scheduled, we get the information a week in advance so staff can look at that, be prepared to go into a pre-application meeting, ensuring that we get notes out from those meetings to the individuals who requested that pre-application, so we got some documentation about what was said. It's not a memory of, I thought you said this, or I thought you said that, is we list that out. We've also sat down with staff and talked about grading permits issues such as mass grading permits. Let's say somebody wanted to come in and grade 5 acres of property. They're not ready for development yet. What would that those steps in those processes be? And then if somebody wanted to do grading for a new project, you know, early submittal of a grading plan so they could do grading on site without doing the site utilities or any foundation work. The most recent discussion we had was about our design review staff reports. We are in the process of reformatting how we do our design review reports. So that in the future they would come out so that you generally would have a section about what the application is, identify what past land use actions have occurred on that property, and then get into a section that deals with all the site design review. So listing the standards for each one of those, a master template, and then having what we call a public infrastructure or public facility section. So all of the things dealing with transportation, sewer, water, storm drainage, erosion control, so forth, are all together as well. The reports now, they're kind of mixed. You've got, you know, all of a sudden you're talking about landscaping, then all of a sudden you can be talking about transportation, and then you can be over talking about some kind of infrastructure piece. My experience has been in dealing with the development community, engineers like to see all the engineering stuff together, and the architects like to see all the architectural stuff together, and the landscape architects like to see all of that. So Steve Olson's going to be going through and creating a new template for all of that. But the reason we're delaying that is Jessica's working on the transportation system plan, and we want to get through that process and any of the criteria that we're modifying and put that into the final template. So I don't want to create a template and then turn around within 30 days and redo that template. So all of those things I think will make things easier. We've also been working with our building division to ensure on the simple single-family home permits, there's actually a provision that those are supposed to be reviewed and issued within 10 days. So a simple one means it's something that does not require an engineer stamp and an engineer analysis on the foundation, in simple terms. And so we've been tracking, so I'm now getting a weekly report on how we're doing on our single family, and we're in meeting those 10-day targets for those simple ones. And so that kind of removes some backlog and some issues that were being presented by some of the development community, the city staff as well. That help?
Any other questions from the commissioners? Any other items from staff?
So one big one is that in December and January, what was before you was the legislative action for two pieces related to the bypass. One was for the Highway 219 southbound lane, and the other was for Wilsonville Road. Your resolution that you prepared made a recommendation to the council, in summary, to delay their action on that application until March of 2016 in order to allow time for the entities to come together. There has been a lot of discussion amongst the six parties involved in this. There was discussions about going to a facilitated process. In the end, ODOT has come back and identified the ability to do some realignment to Wilsonville Road that would more or less, would follow the final EIS alignment for Wilsonville Road and bringing it south and connecting into Winooski, I mean, to 219 south of Winooski. So we are in the process right now of letters of agreement between the parties and an agreement of understanding. That's all in the process right now. So we're hopeful that things will work itself out in the next couple of weeks. If so, that could lead to some other work to do some TSP amendments and or incorporate those into the TSP update. So I know all of you were keenly interested in what was going on with that, so that gives you a little bit of highlight there. Mr. Mayor, anything you'd like to add on that topic?
No, you've done very well. Thank you.
The council did review your recommendation on medical marijuana for grow sites and processors, and then the change in the definition, the footnote for on the dispensaries for career schools. They made a couple of modifications to your recommendation. One is they dropped the airport industrial out, so you can't do a grow site processing in the airport industrial area, because that zone is specifically for aviation-related industry. The second piece was the language that Commissioner Fortner put, recommended that was approved on the electrical inspection. In the end, the council removed the requirement for the electrical inspection component of it. They did agree with your recommendation on dropping or two patients, so it's just, you know, up to 12 plants indoor only. So that was adopted at the last meeting under an emergency ordinance because those new provisions on the medical side take effect on March 1st. And then the last piece is just a reminder that we do have a special Planning Commission meeting on the 25th to address the recreational marijuana producers and processors. So that staff report will be going out to you next week on Thursday, and you'll have a week to read it. Come prepared. It's the only thing we have on the agenda that evening. That's it.
As chair, I wanted to acknowledge service from Matthew Fortner. Is serving his last meeting tonight, has turned a letter of resignation in. I want to thank you, Matt, for your years of service and your insights and encouragement for these last couple years, and we wish you well. Hate to see you go, but we appreciate all you've done for the commission.
Thank you for that. I'm going to somewhat miss coming here. I did appreciate coming in here and having the mayor giving me the opportunity to serve on this council. My life situation is so full of other things that there's other things of more importance. Okay. And I appreciate the opportunity to serve with you guys.
Get your nameplate.
You can take that home. The mayor's offering me my nameplate.
Memento.
And thank you guys again, and it's going to be okay. We're missing a few guys. Yeah, just a few. I don't know about that guy there. Patrick, it is good meeting you since been two things with you here. Anyhow.
Any other items from the commissioners? I do have a couple items that I would like to bring up at this point. In light of going forward, I thought it would be nice to address some of our formality and protocol when it comes to public hearings. I think it would be best when we have someone presenting to the commission, when we have a time of question and answer, that you acknowledge, you know, just put your hands up so I can acknowledge you to give you that turn to speak. I think that gives a perception of being decently and orderly and complying the best we can by Robert's rules. If after your question, after they've answered your question, if you do have a follow-up to your question, if you could just acknowledge, you know, you have a follow-up, that way we'll give you your time to ask your questions and a follow-up, and then we can then listen to everybody else as far as giving equal time for the commissioners to be able to ask and get their questions answered as well. I do have some Robert's Rules of Order, some pointers that I'm going to be copying, and I will be handing them out at the next meeting. Just a lot of good information on understanding some of the rules and etiquette. Any other comments? You have any questions?
Mr. Chair, just on that, raise hands, or I like the lights on the
okay
mics, if that's kind of been...
That's fine, as long as... I was always one of the biggest problems, you know, as far as leaving my light on. But, yeah, we can try that. That's fine. Just remember to take your light off once you've spoke so we can identify the others that have something to say. Any other comments, questions, editorials, or opinions?
I think that's a good reminder. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
The light's on.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of the code and the protocol that we use, is the lights or the indicators, kind of cue to that. Couple of three things that I want to do. First of all, I want to thank you, the Planning Commission, all of you that were involved in your the decisions that you made and the recommendations you forward to the council regarding the proposed amendments to the transportation system plan involving the access to Wilsonville Road. I thank you very much for that. You are given kudos across the state for the action that you took on that. It's not just something that is here in Newburgh. There are other entities and other organizations that really applaud the work that you did to give it a chance to do it. So I want to thank you for that. Matt, we're going to miss you. I appreciate it very much. I do have a new member that will be put before the council, so you should not be too long with an absent member, not to do any grave robbing. But we got to keep the business going on that. So for that, I thank you, but I want the commission to know that there will be another person on there, and I think you will appreciate the new party, assuming the council will ratify my appointment. And I think those are the three things that I had. Doug brought you up to date on where we are on that intersection, so that he did a very nice job on that. But don't tell him that, please. So, thank you.
Okay, seeing nothing.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
One last thing. It did mention we have the meeting on February 25th. I know one commission member is going to be out of town, Commissioner Bliss. Commissioner Fortner is stepping aside. So everybody else will be able to make it. So we have a quorum, need four for a quorum. And I will talk Commissioner Dale as well to make sure that he will be in attendance. Again, it's one of those situations where we have some timelines, triggers, because the Oregon Liquor Control Commission will be starting April 1st, start issue licenses for producers and processors. So we've got a timeline to get through the Planning Commission, then get to the City Council to get whatever regulations adopted before they start issuing licenses.
Right. The mayor just suggested that he has a name to submit to the City Council. When will that approval perhaps happen? Would the person be available for the next meeting, or will it have to be in March?
I cannot answer that because, you know, I can't remember what's...
It's a
meeting. Is it on
March 7th?
It's on the March 7th meeting.
Okay. And our meeting is on February 25th.
Okay, thank you.
Probably March 10th. Sure. Doug, you had an email out about another meeting in June. Did you want to get feedback on that while we're all sitting here? Or?
Thank you, Commissioner. Mm-hmm. So, on June 27th, I sent out an email to all of you polling if you would be available for a workshop. It will be a joint workshop between the Planning Commission and the City Council for the Newburgh Downtown Improvement Plan. So the consultants will be here. They will give a presentation. It will provide the opportunity for the Council and the Commission to ask questions and probe. We've identified 10 big ideas that have come out of the first community visioning workshop that was held. The second workshop is being held on March 15th, so put that on your calendars, 4:30 to 6:30 at the Cultural Center. And so this meeting in June will be the opportunity, the consultants will have worked through these stakeholders, the two community workshops, and then present information to the council and to the commission to get your feedback, which will lead to additional modifications to the proposal before it officially starts coming back to you as a Planning Commission action item, and then on to the City Council. The public will also be invited to attend on June 27th. So there'll be an opportunity if some members of the community want to make some statements and observations to the Council and the Commission, they would be able to do so. We anticipate that meeting will probably be about an hour and a half, but no more than 2 hours.
Okay, I think we can call it a wrap. At this point, we will adjourn this meeting.